views and opinions expressed here are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything. This podcast may contain adult language. Audience members' discretion is advised. What's up, guys? It's Dottie here with a new episode of Political Vibes. I hope everybody has had a great new year so far. I hope everybody has got some things that they wanted for Christmas. So today I wanted to talk to you guys about what candidate I think has a chance to not only beat Donald Trump, but to change our lives for the better. And that candidate is Bernie Sanders. I don't know how well everybody has been keeping up on the political debates that they have been having. They had several last year. They just had one this past Tuesday, actually. And I think that my mind's made up on who I'm going to support, and that's Bernie. And this episode is going to be about what things he has policy-wise that's going to benefit us, and just have a good impact on our everyday lives. Like I said, I do think he is the candidate to pick. He is a progressive candidate. He is running as a progressive. It's funny that a lot of folks that's running hasn't caught on to people want progressiveness. People are getting tired of working 2-3 jobs to just barely make it by. People are getting tired of not having affordable health care. People are tired of wages staggering. I mean, wages haven't went up in about 50 plus years. At least where I'm at, it hasn't went up. So I'm actually on his website now. So this is just not me, just talking off the tongue. I'm actually on his website looking at some of his policies, and I like what I see. If you guys want to look at his policies for yourself, you can. It's BernieSanders.com/issues. So if you want to check that out for yourselves. But I just wanted to name some of the things that he's proposing to do when he becomes president. I'm going to already claim that because that's what I want to happen. So one of his policies is a really, really popular policy. It's Medicare for all. And it has under the Medicare for all plan, it says create a Medicare for all single payer national health insurance program to provide everyone in America with comprehensive health care coverage free at the point of service. No networks, no premiums, no deductibles, no copays, no surprise bills. And I think that what gets a lot of folks drawn in to supporting Medicare for All. Can you imagine going in with some kind of injury or some kind of sickness and you don't have to worry about any kind of premiums or any kind of deductibles or any kind of copays or, you know, surprise bills that come in the mail? And that's awesome that everything's going to be covered under this plan. You won't have any out-of-pocket costs. Let me go further. It says Medicare coverage will be expanded and improved to include dental, hearing, vision, home and community-based long-term care, inpatient and outpatient services, mental health and substance abuse treatment, reproductive and maternity care, prescription drugs, and more. So all that's going to be included under this Medicare coverage. I don't know about you guys, but I don't have hearing insurance. I don't have vision insurance. I don't have dental insurance, mental health, and so forth, because it's too expensive and it shouldn't be like that. I want to say that we're one of the only countries, big countries in the world, that does not give health care to their people. As far as I know, big countries like Australia and France and so forth, China, they all give healthcare to their people. It's no out-of-pocket cost. And it's been a talking point that a lot of, I like to call them establishment Democrats, people. What I mean by that is people who are serving their donors. They'll say, you know, well, how are you going to pay for this? Or does that mean that the middle class's taxes are going to go up and all this and all that? And to me, honestly, it's just to deflect from, not deflect, excuse me, that's the wrong word, distract you from the awesome things that are in this proposal. You know, Biden and Joe Biden, he is Obama's vice president. He's running for president. I know you guys already know that, but just want to give you a little fill in. You know, he's running for president now. You have Amy Klobuchar. She's still in it. You know, you have Pete Buttigieg. You have all these moderate establishment type candidates that's going to bash Medicare for All simply because they're in the pharmaceutical industry's pocket. You know, they can only go so far as their donors will let them go. And someone like Bernie, he doesn't take any corporate PAC money. So he doesn't have an obligation, if you would say, to tell you that you can't get this kind of health care because it's not a real possibility, or, you know, how can you pay for it? And, you know, it's going to cost the U.S. all these trillions of dollars and all this crazy mumbo jumbo. And so he doesn't have to worry about that. He can just give his policies, and he can give the truth, because he's not serving a corporate donors. He's not serving any of those type of people. So he doesn't have to worry about that. So let me go on to another policy that he has that I think is a good policy proposal, and that is the Green New Deal. And it says the Green New Deal is it can transform our energy system to 100% renewable energy and create 20 million jobs needed to solve the climate crisis. So if you guys didn't know what the Green New Deal was, it's to combat climate change. And a lot of folks really don't pay attention to climate change. Like, you know, it is not a real thing, but it is. And if we don't get a hold of it very soon, then we're going to start seeing places crumble right before our eyes. You know, you got California. I'm not sure if you guys have seen all the wildfires in California, but, you know, it's ridiculous. They just had this huge wildfire in Australia that was crazy. It was crazy. It's not supposed to be hot. It's not supposed to be 70, 75 degrees in December, in January. Like, it's supposed to be cold, obviously, you know. So, and it's bigger than that, you know. I just feel like it's a lot of us, we're not really thinking about that when we're thinking about, you know, what can improve our lives and stuff like that. We know we automatically jump to, you know, we need more money and things like that, which we do. We need more money. You know, we need healthcare and things like that. But if you don't have a world that's inhabitable, then we're not going to be able to, you know, have all that stuff, because we won't have a planet. So that's just something to keep in mind. So let me read you some more of these points under the Green New Deal. It says it will ensure a just transition for communities and workers, including fossil fuel workers, ensure justice for frontline communities, especially under resource groups, communities of color, Native Americans, people with disabilities, children, and the elderly. Save American families money with investments in weatherization, public transportation, modern infrastructure, and high-speed broadband. It will commit to reducing emissions throughout the world, including providing $200 billion to the Green Climate Fund, rejoining the Paris Agreement, and reasserting. Sorry, I had a hiccup on that word. Reasserting the United States leadership in the global fight against climate change. Sorry about that. It will invest in conservation and public lands to heal our soils, forests, and prairie lands. It will end the greed of the fossil fuel industry and hold them accountable. So I hope that I made sense on explaining that. But yeah, so it's just some really, really thorough well thought out things that are in this policy. And one of the people we all need to credit, not only Bernie with this, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, which is better known as AOC. She's in Congress now. She's one of the freshman Democrats, and she's from New York, and I think she's 29 years old, and she's fairly young, and she has some really, really great, bold, progressive ideas, and she helped cartel this policy. And so Bernie, you know, pretty much co-signed it and made it a part of his policy, which is awesome. Another policy that he has that I think is going to win him the nomination and, you know, just win more people over to his campaign, or bring more people over to his campaign, is College for All. I don't know if anybody's still in college, but if you are, it's very expensive. Student loan debt is ridiculous. It seems like we're gonna be paying debt, not just student loan debt, but like what we was just talking about previously with healthcare, you know, doctor bills and all that, like just all kind of debt. It just seems like we're going to be buried in debt till the day we die. And you have somebody like Bernie that's trying to, he's trying to cancel all the debt, you know, which is a great thing. So this College for All policy proposal that he has, it says guaranteed tuition and debt-free public colleges, universities, HBCUs, minority-serving institutions, and trade schools to all. It will cancel all student loan debt for the sum 45 million Americans who owe about $1.6 trillion and place a cap on student loan interest rates going forward at 1.88%, which is awesome. It will invest in $1.3 billion every year in private, nonprofit, historically black colleges and universities and minority-serving institutions, and it will end equity gaps in higher education attainment and ensure students are able to cover non-tuition costs of attending school by expanding Pell Grants to cover non-tuition and fees and fee cost funding for work-study programs and much more. So he has all this great stuff that is in this policy proposal, and I feel like it's going to do a lot of people justice. A lot of kids that are not able to afford school, or you know, the Pell Grants they get, you know, it doesn't cover everything that you need to have to graduate. And, you know, that's keeping a lot of people from graduating. And it shouldn't be like that. Everybody should get a fair shake in bettering their lives, furthering their education, potentially making more money. I just feel like that this is a really, really good policy proposal that's going to really, really attract younger voters to his campaign. And even I feel like it's even going to do justice for older voters too, because you know, it's a bunch of older folks that are in college still, which is not a bad thing. The most important thing is that you're there and you're trying to grind it out and you're trying to, you know, finish college and you're working hard. That's a great thing. But what I mean by older voters is, you know, it's something that's relatable for old folks and young folks. And he just has these policies that are able to bring old voters in as well as young voters. And that's just a win-win, you know. So I'm really, really happy that he has that in his policy proposals, stuff that he's gonna do if he when he becomes president. I'm actually not in school right now because it got too expensive, and you know, I want to go back eventually, and I am. It's just about, you know, when. And so I just think that, you know, something like this, if it gets implemented, then it's going to, you know, have a positive impact on everybody's lives, because who doesn't want to, you know, try to further their education? I know at least I am, you know. So I'm gonna go to this last one that I'm gonna do for this episode. So the last one we're gonna talk about is housing for all. This is one of his policy proposals. And again, it's called Housing for All. He wants to end the housing crisis by investing $2.5 trillion to build nearly 10 million permanently affordable housing units. He wants to protect tenants by implementing a national rent control standard, a just case, in parentheses, required for evictions, and ensuring the right to counsel in housing disputes. He wants to make rent affordable by making Section 8 vouchers affordable to all eligible families without a wait list and strengthening the Fair Housing Act. He wants to end homelessness and ensure fair housing for all. And he wants to combat zoning and segregation and speculation. He wants to revitalize public housing by investing $70 billion to repair, decarbonize, and build new public housing. So I just think that that's just another slam dunk policy proposal by him. Affordable housing is just not a thing anymore. Not with, you know, the type of wages that we're getting. It's just you can't live like that, you know, and you have to work two, three jobs to, you know, pay rent and things like that. And he's just trying to combat all that. He's trying to implement a national rent control, you know. If you guys notice, if you guys are living in like in an apartment complex like I am, rent tends to go up substantially every year. It just goes up so much, and there's just no control on the rent pricing. You know, they just up it and try to get as much money as they can out of you, and that's pretty much it. But you know, he's gonna make it, where it's going to be a, you know, control on all that. You know, he's going to make sure that, you know, your landlords and you know, people who, you know, are on these properties are not going up substantially with rent, you know. And so that's an awesome thing. And his proposal to end homeless and ensure fair housing for everybody just to me speaks of speaks to the kind of person that he is. And I would hope everybody would want to end homelessness and put everybody in a home. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want to live out on the street, you know, asking people for, you know, this and that. I know I wouldn't, but I do sympathize with people that are in those type of situations. And we should definitely make it a, we should definitely make it mandatory that we need to end homelessness in this country. Nobody shouldn't be sleeping outside, you know, in the cold or in the rain or in the snow or in the heat, etc. It just shouldn't be like that. So I just think that, you know, we will be better off as human beings if we do the human thing and, you know, put everybody in an affordable house, you know. That's just my perspective of it. So yeah, guys, those are a couple of things that I've seen that really, really stick out to me. He has a bunch of policies, and hopefully I will definitely put those in a different episode. I definitely want to go over those two, because I just think it's really important that we listen to these politicians, to what they have to say, you know, and what are their policies, you know. It's not just about beating Donald Trump or anything like that. We need to address the reason why Donald Trump's in the office in the first place. Like, why did he get elected, you know? And it's because of, you know, the, in my opinion, the establishment Democrats. Like, it's just, you want to preach these things that you want to do for the people, but you never follow through with them. And so, yeah, it's kind of disappointing. And I feel like the country wanted to put somebody in office that wasn't a politician. You know, I feel like they wanted to, people wanted to shake up the system because the system has been so cruel to them, which I totally understand. Now, I didn't vote for Donald Trump, but I totally get the reason why people did vote for him. Now, if you're still supporting him by now, then I don't know what to tell you. because he hasn't did anything for us. If he did something for your family and for you and your family, then that's great. But all I know is he promised the middle class tax cuts, and he lied about that. I mean, if you don't want to take my word for it, you can be happy to look this up. And, you know, he gave the wealthy, people like him and his friends, the tax cuts. You know, I want to say the top 10%, which are, you know, millionaires or multimillionaires, they got $61,000 in tax cuts. So they just got $61,000 extra dollars in their pocket. And, you know, people like me and you know, we gotta pay more in the system. We gotta give back to the system. And on top of, you know, we're not making money that we want to be making per year. And again, you know, if somebody's making $8, $9 an hour, like you can't live off that. And then when tax, you know, season comes around, you have to like, you know, pay the state, and you know, it just doesn't make any kind of sense, honestly. But people that are like really, really wealthy, they get money back, you know, doesn't add up. And so you got somebody like Bernie, he's a progressive, and you know, a bunch of the establishment, they fear him because they know that he's not just talk, he's about that, he's about action too. And you know, I think he's going to get in there and do a lot of stuff that should have been done a long time ago, like, you know, taxing the wealth, you know, things like that. You know, it's just crazy to sit up here and think that Amazon, Jeff Bezos, which is the CEO of Amazon, his company pays $0 in taxes. $0. Like, Jeff Bezos is the richest man. I don't know if he's the richest man, but I'm pretty sure he's in the top three, you know, richest people in the world. And you telling me that your company pays $0 in taxes? And people like me and you that are working, you know, hours and hours and hours and hours a week, dozens of hours a week, and can barely even pay our rent, can barely even get groceries, can barely even, you know, do anything that we want to do when we do have an off day. You know, I don't want the rest of my life going to bills. Like I know that I'm an adult and I got to pay my bills and pay my taxes and things like that, but it should not be rigged against us to where we have to put more out than we are getting. And that's, to me, that's just not fair. And we shouldn't stand for it. And Bernie's not standing for it. And that's why I endorsed him. And that's why he's going to get my vote. In the election. But first, I'm getting ahead of myself. First, we got to do the primary. You know, first, we got to get him to be the challenger against Donald Trump. You know, because I want to let you know this, if an establishment Democrat runs against Donald Trump, somebody like an Amy Klobuchar or Joe Biden, anybody like that, like, Trump's gonna win again because nobody wants to vote for an established candidate. Like, they just don't want to. Like, we need drastic change in this country. We need a revolution. And the only person, again, that I see that's bringing that to the table is Bernie. So, feel the burn, people. Feel the burn. So yeah, guys. It's been fun. It's been real. I hope you guys enjoy what I have to say. I'm sorry if I stumble upon any kind of words. I'm sorry if I went off in left field, you know, and started rambling and stuff. But I do hope that you know, got my message. I hope that you guys like what you heard, and I hope that you guys keep coming back. This is not my podcast. This is everybody's podcast that wants to be involved in this. I really, really want to hear you guys' perspective and, you know, asking questions and hopefully, you know, provide me with some answers. You know, hopefully you can tell me something that I didn't know. You know, it's all about informing the next person. And I'm always down for obtaining new information and learning new things. And I hope that you guys will walk. I hope that you guys will walk, you know, with me through that journey. I forgot to turn my phone off. I forgot to turn my phone on silent, so I think it was some kind of notification that just went through. So sorry about that, but and it just did it again. Okay, guys, so I'm gonna go ahead and end this segment for today. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll catch you guys really, really soon. Peace out.